Hello everyone and welcome back to We Love PMO, the show where we simplify the complex world of project, programme and PMO management. I am your host Sarah, and if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss any notifications for when a new episode is released. And in today's episode, I'm actually joined by my husband Jude, who hears me talk about PMO, project and risk management on a daily basis. He doesn't actually work in this field at all. And I thought it'd be really fun to have an episode where he can ask me any questions he likes about project management. So, Jude, over to you.
Yeah, hello, everyone. So as Sarah says, I have no experience whatsoever. So Sarah asked me to take part earlier, so I've decided to write my questions down. So I'm going to start with two, if that's all right.
Okay.
Basically, what is a project and what do you mean when you say project management? Sorry.
That's okay. It's a good question. It's a fair question. So when we talk about what a project is, so talk about project first and then I'll pick up project management. Okay. So a project, we say something is a project when we are potentially introducing like a change to something, or we are creating a new product, or we might be creating a new service. And it doesn't have to be something that is just for business. You know, it could be that you're converting the garage into a bedroom. That's something new. It's something that has a definitive start and end time. So, you know, there's time scales involved. You have a set amount of budget. There's a scope. So you know what you want to do within that. And it's a one-time, one-off activity. Project management is the framework that we put around it. It's the skills, it's the knowledge, it's the tools, the templates, the governance processes, what methodology that we're using, because a lot of different methodologies. So they're two different things, but they work intrinsically together.
Brilliant, thank you. Well, I was going to ask you if it could only be used in the workplace, but I don't know if you already answered that.
So sort of did, yeah. So basically, project, it doesn't have to be, when we talk about project management and projects, quite often we sort of think about within a corporate sort of space or within a business, but you can use that in at home or for, you know, if it's like somebody with working in like a leisure centre, or maybe they're sort of like, I don't know, working with a football team or something like that locally, something that they may potentially volunteer for. It doesn't matter what it is that you're doing, or whether it's in a workplace or not, you can use project management around it. So if it's something that you're going to be creating a change or creating something new, like I said before, it's really helpful to have project management around it, because it can help you make sure that you adhere to the time scales, that you don't spend more money than that you were planning for, and just putting targets in place and sort of measuring, are you actually doing what you thought you said you were going to be doing? So you can definitely use it outside of a workplace as well as the workplace.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So for all sorts, really.
Okay.
Not to get too basic on you, but could I just ask, what does a project manager do?
Sure. So basically, a project manager, they may manage a project or they might manage a number of projects. Basically, the project manager's role, they're not accountable necessarily to deliver it. What they're accountable for is to direct the project. So they are trying to, they need to make sure that they've got all the project documentation in place, that they work closely, because every project will have a project executive and there'll be a project board as well where decisions are made. And it might be that the project that they're working on is working with a supplier and end users. You know, if it's like a new software piece that they're trying to develop, software development, for example, and might be creating an app or something like that, they would be working with the users as well. And they're all called stakeholders. So there's a lot of stakeholder management. And that basically means that the project manager has to make sure they have really, really good communication skills so that they can make sure the information is flowing between all the parties. So it's flowing all the way up to the executives for any decisions that are out of the tolerance from the project board, that they're constantly updating the project board and making them, you know, sure and comfortable and assured that actually the project is on track. So they write a lot of the project status updates, they create the plan, they write the business case. So they will get a mandate, and a mandate basically sort of says, here you go, we want this done, you know, this is the problem, we need a solution for this. And they would go away and write up a business case, which sort of justifies the need for it. They do the research. There's so many things that they do. They wear many, many hats, lots of planning involved. They may get involved in procurement if they need to procure any services. There's the financial management, the budget management side of it. There's meetings that they would have as well. Quite often the project manager will end up doing them in it. So it's a very, very varied role. Where you'd need a lot of different skills, hard skills as well as soft skills to undertake.
So a project manager does a hell of a lot.
They do. They wear a number of hats, definitely.
How is it different to a PMO manager? Is that different?
It is very different. So the project manager, they're overseeing, like I said, a project or projects. Now, you have like a hierarchy sometimes. So you may have a project that's standalone, or you might have projects that are all trying to work. They all have their own project objectives, but they're part of a program that has overarching outcomes that they're trying to achieve that each of these projects works together for. So you've got all the projects at the bottom that may be all filtered into a program. And you might have a number of these, number of different projects, a number of different programs, and over that you need a PMO, and the P is interchangeable because it really depends, but quite often it'll be called a program management office or a portfolio management office. And the role of the PMO manager is making sure that there are clear governance processes in place, and we're clear in regards to what the methodology is for the project. So they set what the processes are, they set the governance, they create like the tools and the templates for the project teams to use. They host an assurance meeting as well, where they bring all the project managers together and have a look through the statuses to just make sure that they, as a PMO manager, can assure portfolio board or assure the organization's executives that the projects are on track and that they are still justifiable, but also are they truly on track, you know. So they will help undertake things like health checks, where they'll go and do deep dives on the individual projects to make sure that you know, everything is in line. They've got all the audit trail there, they've got all their documentation. And is it a priority? They would look at that, like this project that we're doing, where we've got all this resource against it, does that actually align to the organization's direction of travel and mm-hmm. their strategic objectives? And if it doesn't, one thing that organizations are really bad at doing is kind of putting a pin in it and saying, no, we need to stop. They quite often don't do that. And the project will carry on and carry on and grow arms and legs. But the PMO manager needs to sort of say, hey, this isn't really a priority. It's not actually what the organisation says they want to be doing. And I think we should stop this and we can redirect this resource into a project that is a priority. And they also do a lot of monitoring and tracking. So they do all the reporting as well and they compile that together. But they're also like the PMO manager will head up the PMO, which is like a centre of excellence. So they will provide sort of in-house training, masterclasses and workshops to sort of help support the project managers. They'll be that critical friend. So if a project manager's writing a business case, the PMO team, the PMO manager will review that and ask those sort of questions to ensure it's as robust as it can be before it goes sent off for sign off.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I don't think I could ask for a better answer than that, really. Thank you. More of a personal one, which I hope you don't mind. Well, I don't think you will. Why do you like it so much?
Well, I think you know me well enough to know that I like processes and I like
I know, order. But we're doing a pod.
I know. But yeah, I like processes. I enjoy having a process. I enjoy the fact that it's never the same. There's always so many, you know, you never know what projects are going to be, you know, happening. It's always different. There's lots of people that you work with. It can be really pressurized at times, and I enjoy that environment, which is fast paced and there's a bit of pressure. But also, you know, quite often you're seeing that change and you're kind of like part of that journey of like creating something new that's needed, or you're putting a new service in place and you just feel such an accomplishment when you sort mm-hmm. of see the end of that. But from a PMO perspective, I enjoy supporting and guiding and coaching project managers to get the best out of them so that they are successful as well in delivering their projects.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just really enjoy it. I enjoy working with teams and I enjoy communicating. I love risk management plays a massive part in this, and I really enjoy that as well. So there's so many different elements that I like.
That's great. Okay, so I only had one more question that I've gotten written down, but after everything you've just told me, I feel a bit bad asking all this. But would you say project management is just a buzzword or a trend, or does it genuinely improve the outcome? Projects, sorry.
Okay, it's all right. So no, I can understand why you asked that. I know it's sometimes a word that people sort of throw around and they may hear a lot in different workplaces and stuff, but it's way more than a buzzword or a trend. It's a really fundamental discipline and it genuinely does improve the outcome of projects. And the practice of project management itself involves the application of knowledge, skills, tools, and techniques. There's so much that goes into it to meet project requirements in order to achieve the objectives effectively. And it is so crucial because it gives a structured approach.
Mm.
And that structured approach is really helps you through the life cycle of the project. It helps you to plan, to organize, and to execute those tasks. It also helps us optimize the resources that we've got available. And that includes not only our time and our people, but also budget as well, and the manpower. And so it optimizes our cost effectiveness and the likelihood of project success. And I mentioned as well, you know, I'm a big fan of risk management.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, project management has a big element of risk management in it, because we risk assess what we're doing in order to make sure we can anticipate what are those potential challenges that might come up, and what could we do, what controls could we put in place to ensure that they don't happen, but if they do, have a plan of what actions we overcome them, so to make sure that project can get pulled back on track.
Yeah.
And I mentioned as well earlier on about the communication, you know, the project management is really emphasizes that, you know, that communication between all the stakeholders. So it's really important that everybody understands what exactly the project is and what the scope is right at the start, right at the beginning of project, because it helps reduce misunderstandings further down the line. But it also has a really positive working environment. And there's that adaptability to change as well. So, you know, project managers are equipped to handle changes and they can adjust the plans and the strategies if need be. So there's many good reasons for having, you know, it's not a buzzword or a trend. It's something that is really fundamental if you want to have success in delivering that change or that creating that new product or that new service. You know, you want to be able to measure that success, and by having project management in place where you've got clear aims, you've got clear objectives that you can link to your benefits that are measurable, you know, you can demonstrate then that you've actually successfully delivered within your time, scope and quality, because you've got it all in an audit trail and you've got a plan that you can execute and you know what you're doing.
That's brilliant. Thank you. I have got another one, actually. I just thought of something. Gantt charts. I've heard you say that many times. What on earth is that?
It is a strange word if you've not heard of it before, but it's not that overly complex at all. It's just quite often it's on a spreadsheet, or you can use different sort of technology sort of apps and stuff like that. But basically, in essence, it's just a way to track your tasks and actions within the plan. So like I said, you know, you've got a start and end date. So you'll have a number of different tasks or actions that you'd undertake, and there'd be different people that undertake them, and you'd say what the start and the end day is of those. And it's a way to just keep track of, are we on track on saying what we would do in those timeframes? Mm-hmm. And also, if we end up, you know, going past the date of completion that we said for a certain task, we're able to forecast on that as well. So it can kind of show you where your lead and lag times are within that. So it's a really good tool to sort of like have a really granular plan from your start to finish of all the steps that you're going to take, And it kind of just gives you like a little bit of a, so you've got all the narrative bit on the side there with your milestones and the dates and stuff. And then it's just got all these lines that are sort of different, that are color coded, that shows you with the months at the top exactly where you are with your schedule.
I know a little of this from your day-to-day work, but what is risk management?
So risk management is like the process that we use to identify, assess, and prioritize potential risks that may impact the achievement of objectives in the project, program, or organizationally. So, you know, it's risk management's not just to do with projects. You have corporate risk management as well. And, you know, so you have objectives in a project, but you also have objectives as an organization. And it basically involves analysing those potential risk events. And sometimes they could have positive as well as negative effects on the project, and making sure that we have a strategy and a plan in place to ensure that we can minimise the impact of those risks if they were to materialise. And it's not just risk. A lot of people focus on the risk, 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 which, you know, risk is basically saying it's something that could happen. What we have to focus on the most is issue management, which is something, it's 100%. In risk management, you'll have a likelihood. So you could say it's like 20% chance of happening, 50% chance. An issue, there is no uncertainty at all. It's 100% certain it's going to happen, or it's happening right now, or it has happened, and you've got to do something about it. So risk and issue management goes hand in hand.
That's perfect. Well explained. And what about RAID? Could you explain what is RAID?
RAID, that's just an acronym. So it just stands for risks, assumptions, issues, and dependencies. So you'll have a log. So I just mentioned about risk and issues. So you would have a log that basically you could capture your risks in. Your assumptions, they're things that you would assume to be true based on the knowledge that you have, the information that you have at hand. When you're planning your project at the start, you may be assuming X, Y, and Z. And you would sort of score that to sort of say how confident you were. But if that was disproved, what would you do about it, and how would that impact the project? And then your issues, I've mentioned already, but then your dependencies, that would be, you know, what dependencies, what is the project dependent on? Are there tasks that you can't do task C until task B is completed, for example? Or is there an element of the project plan that you can't do because you're reliant on another project to complete theirs, to create a product first that doesn't exist that you will need in order to finalize your stages? So that's helpful to have that all in one log, because the assumptions and dependencies, you can use things like the if-then technique to help you uncover any other potential risks.
Brilliant. Thank you.
You got any other questions at all?
No, I mean, I think I'm in too deep as it is, to be honest. If I think of some more, we could always do this again if you'll have me
We could do
back.
a part two if you can think of any more
I'm happy to come
questions.
back.
Do you think
Thank
it's
you.
a field that you'd ever want to get involved in?
I'll let you hold the reins on this one and just I'll just be a passenger for the
Just be a
ride. But
passenger.
it's very interesting. Thanks for taking the time to explain.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on, and I'm glad you do find it interesting. I talked to you enough about it anyway. So hopefully that might have answered some questions that the listeners may have. So that is a wrap for today's episode. If you found this episode helpful, or there's a specific topic you'd like us to explore in future episodes, don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button. And if you have a look down in the description, you'll be able to see that we have a project manager Zero to Hero course, which in March currently has a 50% discount on. So there's a code down in the description. And if you are thinking about a career in project management, I also have a coaching program, which I'll talk a bit more about on the next episode. If you'd like to hear a bit more about that, do feel free to reach out to me or hello at welovepmo.co.uk, and do give us a follow on Instagram if you're on there at welovepmo. So thanks very much for listening, and be sure to tune into the next one. Bye.
All right.